أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and the prophet, and we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the day of judgment. My dear fellow Muslims, one of the blessings of Allah on me is that He put enough years in my life to be able to form a large repertoire of Islamic memories. And today I would like to share with you one of them. It is a commemoration. Today is the 17th of August, and I would like you to take you a couple of days earlier than that, to the 14th of August. Commemorating what? A birthday. But it was not an ordinary birthday. A little before midnight on the 14th of August of 1947, the All India Radio from Lahore suspended the broadcast, only to return a few minutes later to say, "This is Radio Pakistan from Lahore." And that was the birth of Pakistan. 14th of August, 1947. And to us, the announcement was music to our ears in Egypt, because of the fulfillment of that dream, the vision seen by Sir Muhammad Iqbal, and under the clever, astute leadership of Mr. Muhammad Ali Jinnah, and a new Muslim state was added to the map, a country which was created purely on the basis of Islam. We were joyful. To us it was a personal triumph. And I remember how many a time when I was a student with thousands of Egyptian students demonstrating in Cairo and shouting "Pakistan Zindabad." That was a triumph for Islam. And at the time, we considered Pakistan our country. And still I remember in discussions with my friends, if things went politically sour for me in Egypt, what would be the solution? Go to Pakistan. It is the country for the Muslims. And at the time and for some time, it was known that any Muslim can go to Pakistan and get a Pakistani citizenship. And one of the services Pakistan did to Islam was the hosting of several Islamic activists who were persecuted in their countries, go to Pakistan and carry Pakistani passport and citizenship. Many of you know or hear about Muhammad Asad, the famous scholar of the Quran, who was born a Jewish Austrian, and then he settled in Pakistan, and his Pakistani passports was one of the earliest ever Pakistani passports to be issued, as he was sent to New York as a member of the Pakistani delegation to the United Nations. And the Pakistan rendered more services than this. A great translation movement, carrying Islam to those who didn't speak Arabic but spoke English. A great firm stand on the issues of Islam. Pakistanis are not as lax on Islamic issues as many others are. And therefore, this week, I commemorated and rejoiced. But also, and as a Muslim, I couldn't help mixed feelings that arose as time went on. In the 20th century, two countries were added to the map of the world on the basis of religion. The one was Israel, and the other was Pakistan. And as a Muslim, I do not refrain from thinking and feeling for the happenings in all the Muslim world. And that is why I was not blind to things that could have gone better in Pakistan, and even to things that might have gone a little bit wrong in Pakistan. And until this very day, I pray that wrong things would be corrected and good things would be bettered. Yes, I am an Arab, but primarily I am a Muslim. And therefore, I don't have the ethnic sensitivity. And that is why I was extremely grieved a few years ago as I was giving the khutbah of the Eid of Ramadan in one city in the East Coast. And I kept reminding the Muslims that we are one ummah and should care for whatever happens anywhere in that ummah. And I quoted the Pakistani example. And out of jealousy of the growth of Israel, without right, naturally I felt grieved when Pakistan broke into Bangladesh and Pakistan, and when I hear in the news about the skirmishes mounting up to battles and the killings between various factions in Pakistan, based on whether you are an immigrant from India, belong to that party, or the other party, or that tribe, or the other tribe. It pains me. And the most painful thing, after I gave that khutbah, which, to be honest, was very warmly and affectionately received by the audience. But later I received a letter signed by three notable Pakistani brothers telling me, Dr. Hathout, we did not welcome your remarks. Please, we do not speak about Egypt. You do not speak about Pakistan. Has it changed from the one Ummah to I, Egypt, and you, Pakistan? And if you think Pakistani and I think Egyptian, where is Islam? Because in Islam we think as Muslims. Because the Quran says, this is your Ummah, one Ummah. Because the Prophet says that the Muslims are like the one body. If hurt at any part, all the parts will feel and rally in support. And that's why we should take it as an Islamic issue to care for Pakistan, to care for Muslims wherever they are, to care for Kashmir and the atrocities occurring there. The story of Kashmir in a nutshell is that when the British withdrew from India, they agreed, all parties agreed, that states with Muslim majority would be part of Pakistan, and others with Hindu majority would be India. And they came to Kashmir, where the majority of the population were Muslim, but the ruler was not Muslim. And like the habit of the British, they always leave behind them a time bomb. And it was agreed that a plebiscite would be held to ask the people of Kashmir, what do they want to be? Self-determination. And although that was the agreement more than 50 years ago, the plebiscite never materialized. This hurts me as a Muslim. I'm not Pakistani, but I am a Muslim. And with the same token, I feel intense pain when the Palestinian issue is regarded by some as a Palestinian issue for the Palestinians, or as an Arab issue for the Arabs. Jerusalem and the Palestine is an Islamic issue for all Muslims. Jerusalem is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, not the building with the golden dome you see in the pictures, but the whole area is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. When the Quran mentioned Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, that mosque had not been built already. But the whole area, the Quran calls Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And it was the destination of the journey of Isra of our Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Al-Quds. And that was the place where Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam met with all the previous prophets and led them in prayer, establishing both continuity and leadership and the message that this is the seal of the prophets. This was the launching place to the journey of Mi'raj, when our beloved Prophet was taken up high there, where no eye has ever seen and no ear has ever heard, and no imagination could ever capture. And he came back to us with the decree of establishing the prayer, which is the pillar of Islam. The prayers five times a day in the form we perform them now. All what the others say about Jerusalem, and that it is the seat of the biblical prophets, etc. The biblical prophets are also our prophets. We have not given them away. We are the continuum and the final form of the religion of Allah through Judaism and through Christianity. Islam is the crowning experience. Islam is the final edition. Islam doesn't negate or replace, but completes and corrects the previous religions. And if custody of Al-Quds is to be entrusted to anyone, naturally, it should be the one who recognizes the other two. We Muslims recognize Judaism, and we recognize Christianity. If the key is in our hand, our religion tells us to invite them in and be part of it. But the Christians recognize Judaism, but do not recognize Islam. The Jews recognize neither Christianity nor Islam. So they are the least deserving of being the custodians of Jerusalem. And the story you know, when the Zionists invented the story of a land without a people to be given to a people without a land, and who said it is a land without a people? It is true the Jews had a kingdom there for a period of history not exceeding 300 years. But when they went there, they didn't find it empty. And as they lived, they were not alone in it. And when they left, they didn't leave it empty. And they brainwash the mind of the West by saying, Allah promised us this land, telling Ibrahim, to you and your seed, I give this great land from the river Nile to the river Euphrates in Iraq. But not being honest about who is the seed of Ibrahim. Isn't Jesus and the Christians also the seed of Ibrahim? Aren't the Muslims also the seed of Ibrahim? Isn't Muhammad the seed of Ibrahim through the other and elder son of Ibrahim, who is Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam? And you see the television, and if you have access to other dish televisions, you would see the atrocities and the dirt and how a human being behaves like a beast. You would see how they killed a Palestinian and kept knocking his head with their guns until the brain came out of the skull. You would see the 3 and 4 months old babies with the Israeli bullets going through them. You would see how they demolish the homes and how they corrupt the agriculture and how they imprison and cage the Palestinians, and how they give promises and never keep them, and how they rely on physical power only, forgetting that the real power is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at long last, the Palestinian people have learned the lesson. Give your life to Allah. Be sincere to Allah. And Allah will come to your support, and He will come to their support. And it is regrettable that the feelings of the Muslim masses aside, The Muslim rulers, especially the Arab rulers, have proved that they're not fit for the task they are undertaking. And frankly speaking, either change and take the right course and the right attitude, or leave the place and for somebody else who might have a better opportunity. Things will change in the Middle East. As an American said it, you are a beast, but please wake up. And the Muslims are waking up. And inshallah, they'll improve themselves to be fit for the victory of Allah to descend upon them. And once they are, the victory will descend. In America, in the short term, we can first pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean heart. Because if you pray without a clean heart, your prayers will not go farther away than your lips. And try and convince the American people. Shake them up of the brainwashing. And send the money to help the victims in Palestine. And in the long run, establish yourself as a political power in America, fit enough and capable enough of influencing the decision. And this is your mission as Muslims in the United States. May Allah enable you to live up to your mission. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. اسألوا ربكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت. وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. My beloved fellow Muslims, our responsibility is great. Our responsibility is more than keeping the pillars of Islam, but keeping all Islam. And remember, we are one ummah. Don't let the shaitan go in between you to play the ethnic card, to say this is the Arab, this is the Pakistani, this is the indigenous Muslim, and this is the immigrant Muslim. These are the games of the shaitan, and he's very good at them. So be careful and be cautious. And transcend this tribalism and reach to Allah directly. And when you reach Allah directly, you will find you are one. And we ask Allah to enable us to be like that. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعاء يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام. اللهم دافع عن الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصرنا بسر المغلوب. اللهم من كاد للإسلام فكده وخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر واجعل الدائرة عليه. اللهم انصر الحق والعدل يا رب العالمين وارزقنا الشهادة أو نية الشهادة واجعلنا لديك من المقبولين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.